Would you like to pray with me? Father, we do thank you for this letter written by Paul so many years ago, inspired by your Spirit, which tells us your heart and shows us how we are to live. And I pray, as we look at it this morning, that you will speak to us in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. Now, about the collection. Well, that's how Paul opens this section of his letter to the church in Corinth. It's on page 1157, as Mike's just told us. So if you'd like to, you might have memorized it, it's only four verses. But if not, you might want to go to 1157 and keep your Bible open at that page. We've already noticed in previous weeks how Paul is often addressing issues that the Corinthians had brought up in a letter that they had written to him. Verse 1 of chapter 7 starts with the word, "Now for the matters you wrote about." And after that, he introduces his answers to other queries with the words, "Now about." So we have "now about virgins," "now about food sacrificed to idols," "now about the gifts of the Spirit," "now about our brother Apollos." And here, he starts with, "now about the collection for the Lord's people." As we've been through this letter, we've seen that the church in Corinth was far from perfect. But we should give them credit for the fact that one of the questions to Paul concerned this collection. As we look at these verses, we're first going to consider the original context, and then we'll look at the principles that we can draw from the passage, and then finally we'll explore how we as Christians today may respond to this teaching. It's not quite the same, but it's similar to the "what, so what, and now what" approach that Andrew Ollerton spoke about in our recent Bible course. We'll start with, what was this collection? Well, it was not a collection for the local church in Corinth. When we looked at chapter 9, which was way back in November, we saw that Paul taught that when we give to the local church to support the preaching of the gospel, we're not being charitable, we're just being fair, doing what we should be doing, giving what is required of us, recalling what Jesus had said to his disciples when he said about receiving whatever they give you, receive it, for the worker deserves his wages. It's in Luke chapter 10. We're called to contribute to the needs of our local church because we are part of the local church. But Paul is saying here that having paid dues to the local church, it's good to look further afield to the needs of Christians who may be struggling and in need of support. In particular, Paul is thinking of the church in Jerusalem, where many seem to be in extreme poverty. Now, after Pentecost, the church burst into spectacular growth in Jerusalem. And we read in Acts chapter 2 that on that day, about 3,000 people were baptized and added to their number. Successful evangelism calls for effective pastoral support. And initially, this was provided by the local Christians in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2 also tells us all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. But even though they selflessly supported one another, it seems that there came a time when there was not enough to go round. The famine prophesied by Agabus in Acts chapter 11 is likely to have been the cause of this. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, the famine in Judea was particularly severe, and many in that area died of starvation. So as he visited different churches in different places, Paul was keen to organize collections to relieve the suffering of fellow Christians in the regions. In some ways, the circumstances of Paul's time were very different from how we find the world today. But as we often see, though the details may differ, the general circumstances are still very similar. And from Paul's instructions in these four verses, we may learn guidance for our own giving. Much of this guidance is pertinent to giving both to the local church and to the Christians further afield. So that brings us to our so what. We're going to consider four points of principle from these four verses. Now, the first point is that Paul is collecting for fellow Christians. Many will have been starving in Jerusalem, but Paul is particularly concerned for the needs of the church there, the Lord's people. Now, this doesn't mean that we should not care about non-Christians. When God gave the law through Moses, he gave instructions to leave provision for the poor and the foreigner. See, for example, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. However, our first concern should be for fellow Christians. There are so many Christians in the world who are suffering for various reasons. Their needs are often neglected. If we, who have the means to help, fail to send help to brothers and sisters in Christ, then we're failing them and we're failing Christ. Now, the second principle is outlined in verse 2, where Paul says, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money." So there's a system in place. It's not legalistic to be systematic. I know that if I were to give as and when I felt like it, I might and probably would end up robbing God. It would be easy to find other things to spend my money on, and then there wouldn't be much left for Christian giving. Our giving should be significant and involve a degree of personal sacrifice. It's much better if we have a look at our finances and decide on, for example, a monthly sum, maybe a percentage of income, or some other method, and then try to stick with it. At the same time, we need to be flexible. Sometimes circumstances may require us to give a little less. At other times, God may lay it on our hearts to give extra. We should try to be systematic, but not legalistic. Now, we can see that this applies to giving both to the church here, the local church in St. George's or St. Martin's, and to giving to Christians further afield. And this is true for the third principle, which is also in verse 2, where Paul says, "Give in keeping with your income." Now, nowhere under the provision of the New Covenant are Christians called to tithe, that is, to give 10%. For some, it's going to be more, for others, it's going to be less. For someone, for example, earning the national living wage, which is, I believe, around about £21,000 or £22,000 a year, who they also need to pay for rent, fuel, food, and so on, Giving 10% is likely to be too much. However, somebody earning £1 million per year could probably give much more than 10% and still be able to pay the bills. So long, of course, as they didn't have an excessively extravagant lifestyle. Giving is an act of worship. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul describes giving as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So each one of us should pray as we give and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as to the amount. We need to take giving seriously. And if we become more affluent, we need to be careful not to spend all the extra wealth on home, car, holidays and so on, while neglecting an increase in Christian giving. So it's good to review our giving prayerfully and regularly. I think it's also true that if we become less wealthy, then we need to prayerfully consider a reduction in what we give. And again, because giving is an act of worship, it's good to pray as we give, committing the gift to God, praying that what we give will be used effectively. I think a fourth point concerns being informed when it comes to the needs of Christians outside our local church. In this respect, our world is completely different from that of Paul's time. The people in the churches that Paul visited would probably not have known about the needs of Jerusalem Christians if Paul had not informed them. And also, even if they did know, they would not easily be able to send financial help to where it was needed. So Paul informed and facilitated. Now today, as a church, we support some Christians, such as the church in Salta, Argentina. We are informed about their needs by our church, and sometimes financial help is collected and distributed, again, by our church. But on top of this, there are so many other Christians throughout the world who desperately need help in their suffering from poverty or persecution, or often both. We don't read much about this in the mainstream media, but we have access through websites and through subscribing to newsletters. They provide information and ways to give. Now, some examples, and I must say that this is definitely not an exhaustive list, and if I've left one that you think should be on there, and I probably have, for just about everybody here, because most of you will be informed of so many things and think, why hasn't he put that? But if I miss some out, I just want to say this is not supposed to be an exhaustive list. But there's Open Doors, Barnabas Fund, and Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Organisations like these provide aid and advocacy for persecuted and poverty-stricken Christians in different parts of the world. Closer to home, groups like Christian Institute, Christian Concern, and ADF UK provide advocacy for Christians persecuted by our increasingly dictatorial, secular, progressive ideology and the corresponding laws that go with it. And ADF International perform a similar role in many other countries. Now, I've left some literature on the welcome desk from some of these organisations. I've talked about being systematic in our giving. I must say that I'm not very systematic in storing and collating stuff, and I've picked up bits from all around the house that I could find. Some of it goes back a few years, some of it's up to really quite modern, but it's just there to give you a flavour. So please do have a look at it, after the service, but can I ask you that you don't take anything away because others may wish to look at it in the 11 o'clock service. So, a brief recap. Let us be resolved to give, not just to the local church, but also to Christians in need. 2, pray, plan, review, and give systematically. 3, give in accordance with how much we have. 4, keep informed through websites or by subscribing to newsletters. And don't forget, there are quite a few people in our church who are involved in Christian charities and who would be blessed by our support, be it prayer, financial, or practical. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul urged them, since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So let's pray. Father, please, by your Spirit, please enable us to excel in this grace of giving, both to our own church here in Poynton and to Christians further afield who need our help. Amen.